The first reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 1, and the second follows on to 31, that's 14 to 31. Your word is good, it's ever faithful, worth more than gold, the heart's delight. Your words give life to all who hear and obey, your words endures forever. Your true word, it never changes. It forms the earth, sustains it still. Your words defends, providing refuge and strength. Your words endures forever. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your word is a light unto my path. For your word is my hope. It's my joy and my song. Your words endures forever. Your words transforms, it lifts the humble, rebukes the proud, protects the poor. Your word discerns the mind and spirit of all. Your words endures forever. Now about spiritual gifts. Brother, I do not want to be ignorant. You know that you were pagans. Somehow or other, you were influenced and left astray to my idols. Therefore, I tell you, no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is the Lord, except the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts. And although its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink.
Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there is many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I'm sorry I can't be with you this evening. I'm struggling with a virus. But thank you for Graham and Georgie for doing the readings for us. And I hope that the quality of this video will be good enough that we can still look at God's word together. As we continue our journey through 1 Corinthians this autumn, we come to chapter 12 and spiritual gifts. This is a famously divisive topic. In the modern church, some Christians make a big deal of spiritual gifts. They say, unless you've had the spiritual experiences that I've had, or unless you've seen God working in the kinds of ways that I have, well, you're not a fully fledged Christian. And of course, that leaves other faithful believers feeling left out. In a church like St. Mary's, we can also create division by giving the impression that the only gift that really matters is Bible teaching. And so those who find it hard to read or hard to teach are left wondering if they have any gifts at all. Well, this is nothing new. Spiritual gifts were also a dividing issue in the church in Corinth 2000 years ago. There were some who revelled in their spiritual gifts. They said, we are the gifted ones and we don't need the rest of you. It was a terrible thing. The Apostle Paul is writing in this chapter to give them a loving but firm telling off. And he says, verse 1, I do not want you to be ignorant. So whether we think we are spiritually gifted or not, and whether we sympathise with the charismatic or the more conservative ends of the spectrum, let's pray now that God would enlighten us and that we won't be left ignorant in these matters. Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, please help us now to hear and understand your word on this subject. And please give us wisdom to put it into practice, that we may be united and not divided as your church. We pray this for your glory and in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Paul begins this chapter by reminding his readers that every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Let's read again from verse 1. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you, that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now the Corinthians used to worship idols, little wooden statues, and I imagine it was a great spiritual experience to go down to the pagan temple to chant special words and to have an emotional high. But now they have become Christians and they worship the real God. They don't need those special chants or spiritual experiences to prove that God is in their life. No, the proof that God's Spirit is in their life is simply when they say, Jesus is Lord. Now, obviously, saying those three words, Jesus is Lord, is not a magic formula to go to heaven. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warns, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. It is possible to go to church and to say religious things, but never actually submit yourself to Jesus as Lord. And that may be a warning to some of us here tonight. Paul's point is that every genuine Christian says, Jesus is Lord, and really means it. They listen to Jesus' words. They seek to obey him day by day, even if they often mess up their priorities in their relationships or their career choices will generally be putting Jesus first as Lord. They really mean it when they say Jesus is Lord. And so as verse 3 says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So friends, if Jesus is your Lord, and I hope he is, then it is the Spirit of God who is making you say that. It's mind-boggling, but true. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. And because of that, every Christian has spiritual gifts. Let's read on in verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Through the Spirit, God gives his people a whole variety of gifts. We won't all have the same gifts. We won't all serve him in the same way. But no Christian is left out. The same God works them in all men. And all women too. The Greek word that's translated men just means human beings. Every Christian, male and female, has spiritual gifts. Isn't that encouraging? Why are these gifts given to us? Well, verse 7 tells us that. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Whatever gifts you may have received, they are for the common good. They are to serve others. In verse 8, Paul goes on to list some examples. This isn't meant to be a comprehensive list. There are other spiritual gifts mentioned in Romans chapter 12, for example. But this list does show how spiritual gifts work for the common good. So first, there's the message of wisdom and the message of knowledge. These, I think, are the gifts of being able to speak Christian truth into somebody else's life. Back in chapters 1 and 2 of this letter, Paul showed us the difference between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of Christ, the wisdom of Christ crucified. So I take it that if you have the message of wisdom, it means that you're able to help your Christian friend to see their problems with the perspective of Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. What a great gift that is to have. Next, there's the gift of faith. Now, faith is something that every Christian has, of course, by definition. But perhaps this is a gift of faith that is so firm and so assured that it will encourage other Christians. Maybe you've met somebody like that. There are gifts of healing and miraculous powers. Miracles were especially common back in the first century, and they helped to kickstart the spread of the good news out of Jerusalem. But that doesn't mean that we should necessarily dismiss every report of a miracle nowadays. Simon Gilbo, who spoke at the men's breakfast yesterday, has some amazing stories from his time in Burundi and also back here in England. That miracles can happen today and we shouldn't necessarily dismiss them. Prophecy. We'll think more about this in a couple of weeks when we come to chapter 14. It's about applying Bible truth into somebody else's situation. The kind of thing that might be going on in your growth groups week by week. There's distinguishing between spirits, the gift of being able to tell the difference between true biblical teaching and false teaching, and so others aren't led astray. And then speaking in different kinds of tongues and interpreting those tongues. This was a massive issue for the Corinthians. And again, we'll come back to it in chapter 14, so hold your thoughts on that. Several examples then of spiritual gifts, each of which is for the common good. Every Christian has spiritual gifts, but But if I'm not happy with the gifts that I've been given, well, I need a dose of humility. Verse 11. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. You see, it's God who determines which gifts I have. My responsibility is simply to use them for the common good. And that brings us to Paul's third point. Every Christian is in the same body. Verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, describing the church as a body is a good illustration, isn't it? It's great for me as a preacher because it means I don't have to think of my own illustration for what the church is like. The church is like a human body with different parts. But I've come to see that it's more than just a nice illustration. You see, the church isn't just like a body. The church is a body. And glance down with me a moment to verse 27, if you will. Paul says, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You see, we are the body of Christ together. Every Christian around the world and down the centuries is part of this same body. And this has at least two massive implications. First, it means that every Christian is equally valuable in God's sight. The famous preacher and the person watching from home or from a hospital bed are members of the same body. In all of our racial and economic diversity, we are all in the same body. Secondly, it means that church life is really worthwhile investing in. You see, Jesus lives forever. He ascended to heaven and he reigns at the right hand of God. Now, have you ever considered that every other organisation that you might be serving will eventually disappear? Your school, your university, your employer, the bank that holds your savings, one day they will all be gone. But the body of Christ, well, that will continue into eternity. And so investing your time and your resources in your Christian brothers and sisters is never a waste of time. I was up in London a few weeks ago and I saw a sign pasted on the hoardings around a building site. And it said, we are building for the future. And I thought, isn't that exactly what we're doing at the 6:30? We are building for the future, building a body which we know will last forever. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has spiritual gifts. Every Christian is in the same body. Having established these three facts, Paul now spends the rest of the chapter on two very practical applications. And the first is this. Don't compare your gifts. That's verses 14 to 26. Don't compare your gifts. Some of us will look around at other Christians at St. Mary's or other Christians we know and feel very much ungifted. Maybe we are introverts, we're dyslexic or autistic, or we struggle with a chronic illness that stops us from committing to serving at church. Well, if that's you, can I encourage you to read verse 14 with me? Verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. Do you see, even if you can't teach the Bible or host a Sunday lunch, you are still part of the body. Your spiritual gift might be something else. Maybe your gift is praying for and encouraging others. Or maybe you have the message of wisdom that Paul talked about, and helping other Christians to make wise and godly decisions. If you look around at others and wish that you had their gifts, well, look at verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? This is a grotesque image, isn't it, when you think about it? Imagine a kind of Frankenstein's monster made up entirely of eyes. Ugh. A church where everybody had one gift, the same gift, would be an absolute nightmare. Imagine the 6:30 service where everybody was a preacher. We would literally be here all night, wouldn't we? Perhaps you look around you and you think, actually, I am rather gifted. You're already on three or four different rotas. The church depends on you and you know it. And God has used you over the years to speak truth and to transform people's lives. You seem to have several of those gifts that Paul listed. Well, if we are ever tempted to feel proud of our spiritual gifts and look down on others like the Corinthians were doing, well, we need to hear verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. The truth is, in church, we all need each other, whatever our gifts may be. Years ago, my wife Gracie and I led a chaotic Bible study group in another church. One person had schizophrenia, another was being threatened with deportation. You name it, it was all happening in that group. And I remember wishing that I could just teach the Bible passage with no input from anyone. It would have been so much easier. But I was wrong to be comparing our gifts like that. Because in that group, we actually ended up building one another up together, and it was a beautiful thing. If we compare our spiritual gifts, we become competitors. We become like a worn-out hip joint where the bones are rubbing together. We also stop caring about the body parts who are in most need. Paul tells us, doesn't he, to treat the unpresentable parts of the body with special honour, giving them underpants, as it were. So instead of looking down on those who seem to have fewer spiritual gifts or less impressive gifts, we are to dignify one another. When one person suffers, we all suffer. When one is honoured, we all rejoice. Praise God when we see that happening at St Mary's, as we grieve together, or as we celebrate with brothers and sisters. It is a wonderful thing. Don't compare your gifts, but do use your gifts to build the body. That's the second application. Let's read verse 27 together. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Now, at first sight, it seems as if Paul is ranking these gifts in order of importance, doesn't he? Or at least those first three, apostles, prophets, teachers. But it's much more likely to be a chronological list. The apostles came first in time, didn't they? And then those with gifts of prophecy, and then the teachers. Paul has just been telling us not to compare our gifts. It would be rather odd if he then started to rank them in order. He continues, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. We don't all have the same gifts, we've already seen that. But what does it mean to eagerly desire the greater gifts? Well, with a little spoiler alert for chapter 14, it seems that the greater gifts are the ones that God will use to build up his church the most. In chapter 14, verse 12, Paul says, "Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church." Now, at this point, I suppose the obvious question we might be asking is, how do I know what my gifts are? How do I know how I am gifted? Well, why not start by asking what needs there are in the church? To slightly adapt the famous words of John F. Kennedy, don't ask what your church family can do for you. Ask what you can do for the church family. Right now, I can tell you that we'd love a few more to join our welcome teams at the 6:30. And there are often gaps opening up in the children's work at the other services. And of course, there's always a need for people to be speaking God's word to one another. And joining a growth group is a great place to be doing that. Well, once you know what the needs are, then ask yourself, do I have the gift to help? And then give it a go. It's often in the doing that we discover our spiritual gifts. But one word of warning, please. Don't overdo it. If we exhaust ourselves in serving others, it's not going to be helpful in the long run. You don't want to become the tennis elbow of the body, do you? Worn out because you've been overexerting yourself. And that's not going to help build up the church in the long run. And I've been in that place a number of times. Please get in touch if you feel that you are there too. Maybe you've been patiently listening to all of this and you're not a Christian, or you're not sure whether you are. Well, I would be horrified if you came away this evening thinking, I need to sign up for a few more rotas at church. Because actually the most vital thing for you is to do business with Jesus. As Jesus said himself, no one comes to the Father except through me. It's wonderful if you want to help here at St Mary's and serve in different ways. We're grateful and we love having you with us. But may I encourage you to explore again the claims of Jesus and then ask him to be your Lord. You will receive the promise of eternal life. And as a bonus, you will also get spiritual gifts that will equip you to build the body. Well, let me finish by quoting the wise words of the Christian comedian Milton Jones. Some people think of church as a giant helicopter. They're scared to get too close in case they get sucked into the rotas. Well, I find that funny because I've been sucked into many rotas myself over the years. But I hope we don't have that attitude at St Mary's, kind of reluctant to get involved because we're scared of commitment. Let's use the spiritual gifts that we have to build the body. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you that every Christian has the Holy Spirit who enables us to declare Jesus is Lord. Thank you for giving every Christian spiritual gifts and for making us part of the body of Christ who lives forever. Please keep us from taking pride in our gifts and looking down on others with gifts that we think are less impressive. Grant us discernment and willingness to use our gifts to build the body. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.